Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Down the block, Andrew John. Inside for Elvis. Elvis will score! Elvis will score! Newcastle has won!
Manly defeat the Titans 34-30. Definitely a mixed bag. Not even a mixed bag. It's almost a disappointing win for Manly. Because attack, we know how good they are in attack. They dominate in attack. It is, you know, been like that since round one. Defense, though, definitely need to clean that up. But I will say, I just want to walk you through their first try because I thought it was outstanding attack. So they take the tap. Lodge gets it to the middle of the field on play one. The dummy half throws a cutout ball. He cuts out Jake Trbojevic. He hits Brooks. Waddell hits a short line with Paseka out the back. So Paseka is out the back on the edge of the field. And Paseka lands on Boyd. Boyd gets bumped. He gets steamrolled. The center is forced to come in to tackle Paseka. Paseka gets a quick play of the ball. The Titans then panic and put four players on a short side that they shouldn't have put on a short side, plus the two markers. So you're looking at six players in essentially a space of about 15 metres. And then this forces the left edge to compress. So Khan is like 25 metres. Khan Pereira is 25 metres infield. They end up scoring on that edge because the left side has to also panic because they don't have the right numbers and they score. And I just think that, like, that is, if you, you know, some people may not realize, but you have sets that are specific off taps and the certain calls, it might be called a red call or a DCE call. And DCE might say, let's do cherry set. That you're witnessing a set where every single play the ball is exactly where they want it to land and they got a result from it. That is a well-oiled machine, a very well-oiled machine that every single player is getting to exactly where they need on the park and then they score the points on the end of it.
Yeah, and it's a really good point you raise that, you know, you have set of sixes that are built off taps, and it's quite often why you see guys when they kick for touch, they only kick for 5 metres because that's where they want to start their set of six.
Yeah.
Get messages all the time, people, why don't they kick at 40 metres and get 10 metres? No, it's all part of a plan.
Yeah, and like, so people think, oh, you know, we'll kick it to the, we'll kick it out and then we'll just have two hit ups and then we'll get our shape. It's like, no, like genuinely sets are the, every single play, they run them constantly all throughout the week, all year long about landing at certain parts on the field. And the key to that set is obviously you're landing Paseka on the three in. At the very best, you break that tackle and you score a try, you know, you break the line. At worst, you get a quick play of the ball and the defense panics. So for example, Brimo went to the short side because they thought they were going to raid down that short side again. It's just brilliant, brilliant play by Manly, and it shows you why they got some of the best attack in the competition, that everyone's doing their job.
Yeah, and once you know you've got a team like that, they're all on the same page, God, it's good to watch. That's what I love about the New Zealand Warriors. Yeah. Every set, they know exactly where everyone's meant to be, and quite often it ends up that it's getting AFB in the right spot.
Yeah. Timmy, what do you think of Manly and Titans?
Yeah, you summed it up, Kemp. It's almost weird to say, but like almost like a disappointing win for the Seagulls because we know they've got points in them. Like, I've got them as thereabouts title contenders based on their attack and what we've seen, it's small glimpses in defence, but like they've got the fifth worst defence in the competition in terms of points conceded per game, 22.3. Third worst for missed tackles in the game, in the comp, with 35.3 misses. Mm. They go up to the Gold Coast too. Look, we know they can put a few points in on their day, but concede 30 points up there against them. There was a little bit of rain around as well. Just, I'd love to have seen them go ahead and win at 18-6 or something.
Yeah.
Because we know they can attack.
Mm. The concern with Manly, you know, obviously we gave them raps for how good their attack is, but the concern is if they keep defending like this, at some point in the season, their season's going to derail and it's just going to pile on. And before they know it, they're going to turn around and go, oh, we everyone's getting better. Meanwhile, we can't attack our way out of these problems. And so they have to sort their defence out very, very quickly, because if they don't, as I said, it'll be, you know, round 15, a few things, they'll get a couple injuries that will completely hinder their attack, and all of a sudden they've lost three games and they're going, oh my God, we're spiraling out of control. I mean, look at the Cowboys, for example. This just happened way sooner. They came out of the guns blazing with this incredible attack. They can't sort their defence out, and now their season is essentially spiraling.
Your attack can be good enough to, you know, get you to a top four and get you that second chance come finals time, but you can't rely come finals time against opposition who are as good as you are in a do-or-die game. You can't rely on your attack to get you out of trouble. Your defence has to be, you know, that's the concrete there. That's what we'll get. That's what's going to win you a title. We know that.
Well, a perfect example, and it doesn't get spoken about enough, but Broncos' defence allows them to play like that. Mm. If Broncos didn't have the second best defence in the comp last year, they wouldn't have the platform to throw the ball around like they do. And it's similar to Manly. Like, Manly's attack is unbelievable. It's so good. But their defence at the moment is making them, like, really inconsistent as to the level that they play.
Weird game of football, isn't it? Like, I came away from this game so unhappy with both sides. Even late in the game, like, I want to see the Titans win the game desperately, but if they would have scored late and won this 36-34, the last thing I wanted to do was come in here today and compliment the Titans for conceding 34 points.
Mm.
This is what we're trying to get away from as the Gold Coast Titans. This is what I thought Desi Hasler would change. And then for the Seagulls, you're just going, like, you can't concede 30 points in a game of football. Yeah. Bizarre game, though. Like, from the 55th minute, there was no points. It was, like, 11 tries before that.
Very strange game. Very strange game. One key stat for me in regards to the Manly Seagulls that I think is a real concern is they had – the Titans had 4 ineffective tackles compared to the Manly Seagulls' 14 ineffective tackles. Like that, if you're a premiership threat, that is crazy that the Titans had 4 and you had 14. Like that is almost unacceptable, almost unacceptable. Now, they got the win, and we said it week on week with Manly – the positive is you know exactly what the problem is. It's right there for everyone to see. Your attack, it's premiership winning worthy attack. Your defence, though, is absolutely not premiership worthy winning defence.
Yeah, and I suppose, yeah, don't make excuses for them, because we've seen this in the past with Manly not being the best defensive outfit, but, you know, Luke Brooks comes in, you've got a new 6 there, so your edge combination changes. Reuben Garrick's gone from wing to centre, changes a fair bit there as well. You know, Saab's been in and out injured, so Tommy Taliau's come in this year. Jackson Bolo had been there this year. So there has been changes on the edges. Mm. So maybe it's just taking a little bit of time to get them together defensively, get those reads, get the talking. But, you know, maybe I'm looking after them a little bit.
I will say, for a guy, I was actually quite bullish on Garrick to centre. I didn't mind it, but defensively, like, he's really struggled.
Little reminder of how much of a difficult position it is.
Mm. How different it is to wings.
How different it is, yeah, so different. It always surprised me they moved him from the wing. I thought he was one of the best wingers in the comp.
Don't fix what ain't broken.
Yeah. And he's had really good games there, and I think that some of his early games were games that Manly won by 60 and he scored 2 and 3 tries and everyone got really excited. But defensively, there's always been problems there with Garrick. I don't understand why he's not playing.
Isn't that
on the wing?
What we just said about Manly in a nutshell? Reuben Garrick will do good shit in attack at centre, but it's defence. It's like, is that the best spot for him? Because that's what they need to work on.
Because I always thought he was a good winger defensively.
Great winger.
And he'd run for like onwards of 200 metres every game. He's quick. His positioning's fantastic. His read on the wing was really good.
Yeah.
Why?
And like him and Turbo in attack, they were never out of sync either. Yeah. Like, I just didn't see the need to change it.
Yeah, I think if that defence isn't sorted out soon, he would probably find himself on the way. He definitely got to be in the side. Like, he had a great start to the year, I think. It's just the last couple of weeks, just defensively, hasn't been that good.
Yeah.
They obviously had reasons for it, and I am his number one fan, but just moving Brad Parker to the back row. I love Brad Parker as just a Just a job doing centre, a good defender, runs a. He's perfect for Manly's shape. We talk about often with these like really good back lines and just having that hard running, no frills centre to tie him in, because Manly are all about creating that ounce of space on the edge for their lightning quick wingers, go bang, Tommy puts them away. They don't really have that at the moment.
It's like the Opacek problem at the Eels.
Exactly like the Opacek.
You know, and I think that, let's say he was down at the Storm, he's a guy the Storm would go, we love you. You make your tackles and you do the tough stuff.
Missed now, a few the last couple of weeks, but Rocco Berry on the right edge at the Warriors. Same thing.
Yeah, like I just, with Parker, look, Manly fans, let me know. Maybe I'm missing things, but I always felt like he was just a good defensive centre and that was his job. Now, maybe he wasn't as good defensive as I'm remembering, but I was always surprised at the kind of, I guess, the lukewarm reception he would get from fans. I felt like he was a great battler.
And him not being there and making the move to the back row and obviously playing New South Wales Cup. I mean, I gather he's probably on the outer, obviously a depth player there now, but that has forced Ruben Garrick, a really good proven winger, to go to centre where he's battling defensively. Tommy Taliau, who's been, you know, a very mixed bag year in, year out, Tommy. So moving Brad Parker and getting rid of him or dropping him, it's led to a lot of changes in this team that I don't think are working out, at least defensively.
I think as well too, like they played him at right centre, which, you know, when you defend outside DC, it can be really difficult. Kohler was there playing and defending incredibly well. To move him to the left to get Garrick into the right, instead of just shifting Garrick one in, the whole thing never really made sense to me.
Yeah. See, I was a fan of Garrick to centre because I've seen him play there, really good in attack. I think he started the year really well, but just defensively, he struggled, especially on the weekend. So,
Parker re-signed September last year for 2 more years. Yeah. So he's not, I'd say he's on the outer.
I think in particular, you know, because the vast majority of guys in the vast majority of these teams, probably take out the Warriors, they attack better right to left. Defending at right centre is bloody difficult.
Mm.
That's where you tend to get most guys pass better, right to left, that's where they tend to go. So, yeah, I couldn't really understand why they moved Kohler out of that spot, one of the better defensive centres in this competition.
Him and Ches were great together, hey?
Yeah.
I will say as well, I thought their front row and attack were really good, but I felt like their middle just got rolled. Like, I was genuinely shocked at how easily, the Titans were able to make metres. Titans actually made more metres overall than the Manly Sea Eagles did. I'm saying this from a perspective of a lot of people have Manly as a premiership threat. So they should be going up to the Gold Coast Titans and just, you know, putting them away, to be honest. Now, maybe the Titans are much better than they were a couple of weeks ago. Maybe they're finally buying into Desi football. I'm not sure. But, yeah, I thought through the middle there they were a bit loose at times. Look, it's not like critical and we're not sitting here going, you know, they're falling off a cliff. But it is becoming very alarming that this defence issue is, it's gone from, okay, we've started the season, maybe it's just a few tinkering here and there, or maybe we just had some games where we leaked some points, to it's a genuine problem. Like, their defence is not top tier.
This is making an excuse for them, but travelled over to New Zealand last week, a really tough extra time clash there. They played the Panthers in Brookie the week before, lifting for that one. Two big weeks for them. So maybe it was just that, you know, maybe they're a little gassed, a little bit of a downer defensively.
Look, if we're looking at them from a perspective of making the eight, you go, look, everything's all good.
Yeah.
Yes, their defence is their Achilles heel. Their defence needs to be sorted, but everything's all good. But if you look at them from a premiership, like you go, okay, this is a premiership threat. That defence is like lifetime away from premiership threat.
Just running through the numbers, I think they've conceded the 6th most points in the competition this year.
Were they fourth? Wouldn't you say fourth last?
I had 5th points conceded. That's on average because of the good tie and the buys.
Sure. Yeah, 5th still.
Yeah.
Bottom 6. Yeah.
And so that's where it's just, again, it's not red alert critical right now, but at the same time, it is turning into a real Achilles heel for them. Whereas, like, Let's say they were mid-table for points. You'd go, okay, their defence is nowhere near as good as attack, but not too bad. These things will come together. At the moment, it's kind of looking like if there is one thing to stop them from being a premiership threat, it might be their defence.
Yep.
But I wouldn't rule them out. I don't have them a premiership threat yet, but I wouldn't rule them out of growing into one. Right now, for me, they are they're okay. You've got your top tier of Premiership threat teams, and then they're just they're probably at the top of that second tier for me right now. Where would you have them at the moment?
Yeah, I'd have them about the same. I definitely don't have them in that top tier. No way.
Yep. The top tier of the second tier, same view.
Sixth in the market, $15 to win the comp.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, it's about right. That's about right.
But I do feel like there is a bit of a gap between those two tiers for me.
Yeah.
If they had string together six weeks of good defensive performances, it'll just change everything.
Mate, if they string together 6 weeks and they win 3 from 6, but their defence is outstanding, that's when I go 100% a premiership threat because that attack is phenomenal. Like, genuinely, what you'd say, attacking-wise, you've got the Warriors are really good in attack, obviously. You know, you'd probably have Broncos up top in regards to just their ability to throw the ball around. Manly wouldn't be far off in the way they've played. Like, the way they – when they get on a roll and they start hitting Tommy out the back or Brooks starts running the ball, DC, obviously, like, they are – as good as any attacking side in the competition.
And just their ability to score from anywhere on the field. Like, even you look at Penrith and the Warriors, they smash through the middle, they win field possession, they get there, and then their shape and their you know right, left-hand movements are second to none. But they don't necessarily hit you from their own half, mainly in the Broncos, because of their big ball movement, quick ball movement, they can get you from anywhere.
Literally anywhere, yep.
I wasn't here last week, and I'm sure you spoke about it, but... Christ, it makes the latter interesting now that you got the Seagulls and the Warriors. They're four and against. Doesn't matter anymore. Mm-hmm. Off the back of that tie.
Yeah, it's a good point. It's a good point. I want to give Paseka a shout out. I think this has easily been his best year of his career so far.
Origin Smokey. We've said it a couple of weeks. Not sure.
He's in the conversation. Yep. Smokey. Yep. Just defensively, I just would, you know, I know he's not the only reason, you know, they're struggling defensively, but just the fact that. That pack as a whole is, and he's the main guy. I want to see a little bit more out of him, but I would have him in Smokey chat. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd probably have, there's a couple of Smokey front row forwards I'd probably have ahead of him. Yeah. He's in that conversation.
Like, when they're going to the selection table, I think you'd be mental not to have him on there because he does offer a very unique, big, big body.
Enormous.
I don't, put it this way, definitely not a starting front row. If I was to select him, it would be impact.
Yep.
20 minutes max 20 minutes. And I'll be saying, Paseka, I just need you to go absolutely crazy out there. But I think he's easily having the best year of his career. In attack, like he's been as good as nearly any front rower rolling down the field. Like, he's been nearly unstoppable.
And he was incredible last season as well. Then he got injured and I sort of thought, oh, geez, I don't know if he's going to be out. Big body like him coming back from injury is going to be able to recapture that, but he has to his credit.
Olakau'atu, he's been, if his first few games were a 10 out of 10, he's been at about 8.5 out of 10 for me, but still putting in good shifts and doing what you want him to do, which is when they need a big player or a big moment, he makes it happen.
Yeah.
So for me right now, he's on the edge for me. Martin's on the other edge right now for me for the Blues.
Okay, where's Cam Murray?
In the middle. Then Yeo off the bench.
Yeah, okay.
I just think the Yeo thing has been tried for a couple of years now, and it just hasn't seemed to work.
I wonder if you're not picking Yeo at 13 if you have him in the side, though.
I like him off the bench. I think he can cover front row, back row, edge back rower. You even said yourself, diamond six if you had to. Mm. I like him off the bench. What do you reckon, Timmy?
Yeah, it's tough. I understand your argument of, like, if he's not starting at lock, playing big minutes, do you need him as impact off the bench? Are there better players? Oh, you've rattled me under pressure. Because I want big minutes out of Cam Murray. I'm like, does he solve an edge issue? I love the idea of Ola coming off the bench in two short stints of like 20 minutes and just being... I don't know if I want Ola out there for 80 minutes in Origin.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. You bring him on, another 30-minute player, 30, 40-minute player.
Give me a week to think about it. I don't know if I want Murray or Yeo. I think I want Yeo starting at 13. I think I want him playing big minutes there.
Haven't you learnt this lesson though? Like, I don't know. You brought Murray in the middle there last year and it was just, the momentum was just completely different.
Well, they're going to throw Edwards in there as well.
That's the other thing. If they pick Edwards at fullback, all of a sudden you go.
Oh, why are you bringing up Origin selection, guys? We've got plenty to talk about. No, it's a great conversation. Don't worry, guys. We will do a full-on preview show with Origin, so no stress. What would you go, just quickly, Maddie? Oh,
he's an Isaiah Yeo guy.
Oh, Murray, all day. You saw a game 3 last year. It's so New South Wales to just change that.
Okay. So look, Manly, from a perspective of making the top 8, great start to the season. Great start to the season. Now if they want to be a premiership threat, just got to sort the D out. It's really that simple. So you know, good solid start. Like some of these games you're going to have if you're a top eight side. If you're building into being a top eight side, you're going to have a game where you're supposed to tower someone up and you don't. But the difference between maybe Manly now and Manly when they were struggling towards the end of the year last year or like mid-year, they dropped this game. They dropped this game. So exactly right. That's a positive.
If it was one try less and they got done, everything's different. It didn't pan out that way. They won. Move on.
Yeah, just move forward. Okay, now on to the Titans. Disappointing win for the Manly Seagulls, but like...
a brave loss.
A brave loss for the for the Titans. Like, yes, okay. Did they leak 34 points? Yes, they did. Manly are one of the better attacking sides. In a perfect world, you don't want them leaking those points. But from where they were in the depths of hell to where they are now, it's like, you know what? I'm taking that. I'm taking that. Yes, the game was there potentially for there to be a win, but there's improvement. They fought. Manly are at the top end of the table right now. I'm taking that as a Titans fan.
Is that what we're calling Canberra now, the depths of hell?
Yes. Yes, we are.
Second week in a row, they've showed a bit of ticker, though.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely.
The Raiders to extra time, only just lost this one. Tough ask this week, and they got to play the Warriors in New Zealand on Anzac Day, so that'll be...
Coming off that Warriors loss.
Different kettle of fish, but that did look a lot better. Bit of a scrappy game. Again, Brimo, we said it last week, who would have thought getting his hands on the ball a little bit more would prove to be a good thing?
Might be a fullback, that kid.
Yeah. Left him a little bit thin in the centres, but that's okay. I'm sure they can cover that. But, certainly improving the Titans from where they were a few weeks ago.
Mate?
Tell you what I've really liked for the Titans over the last few weeks is this Jermaine Jolliffe. He never gets spoken about up there, but he's such a handy front row forward.
He's been outstanding.
He's been great.
He's probably been their best forward this year.
Yeah, as a whole, I'd say so, yeah. And, you know, they've got Mofo, they've got Tino up there that, you know, they always overshadow him, but I really like him. He's a good footballer.
Mm. 110 kilos, according to the site. He's a big boy. Had 64 minutes on the weekend.
Yeah.
Mate, he's got a huge motor on him. He's just never utilised.
Yeah. No, I agree with you, mate. I think he's been outstanding for him. And, like, outside of Fifita coming back, I think he's been their best forward this year. I really do. And the value for money you're getting out of that bloke. And also, the ability to go, oi, boys, you're a bunch of Origin players. Yep. You've got Jolliffe the Butler here, probably on minimum, ripping and a tearing. We need to follow him.
Almost definitely on minimum.
I think he's been great. I want to give a shout out. Tanner had a really poor start to the year. I thought he was good on the weekend. I really did. Kicked well.
Yeah. I feel really sorry for Tanner Boyd because, you know, there's a lot of Titans fans jumping all over him at the moment. I mean, the kid came through as a halfback. The Titans then tried to turn him into a lock. They tried to turn him into a hooker. And now it's sort of like he's the scapegoat. Like,
hey, Titans fans, do you remember the last few years scapegoating your seven, how that works out for you?
Yeah.
Like, let's just take a step back. Like, yes, Tanner hasn't been great, but there are far more senior players on more money that should be doing more than Tanner is.
Also, scoring points the last, you know, last season and a few lesser games earlier this year, but they put on 30 points on the weekend. Attack hasn't been your problem. It's been defence. And it's not your halfback's fault that you're conceding the second worst defence in the competition.
Yeah. Like, as I said, no one's going to sit up here and say Tanner had a good start to the year. He didn't. He wasn't great. But just the vitriol after him as a youngish seven, you know, what's his second year as a seven for the Titans. It's like, boys, got to be, and girls, got to be patient with your sevens, especially knowing the history of the Titans. Now, we all sat here years ago and said it is insane that they got rid of Fogarty. So we're not pretending like we were like pushing Tanner or whatever. We were saying, you know, get Fogarty in there, Tanner can learn from him. But at the same time, like, there are so many more problems than Tanner Boyd in the Titans.
Toby Sexton out of town as well.
They booed him out of town. Yeah. The poor bloke getting booed everywhere now.
Yeah.
That Titans fan base, I tell you what, it's not the biggest, but it's pretty aggressive.
Very aggressive.
What about the self-control of a Jedi from Des Hasler? When after 9 minutes, they're down 10-0, Manly walked over for two tries. If I was him, I would have gone fucking red button, panic, put Fifita on.
Mm.
Waited another 15 minutes to put him back on once the Titans got back into the game.
Yeah.
Mental. I mean, if there's one thing, he has been extremely calm in this whole start to the season.
Bloody oath he has been.
Because, like, it's been a disaster. Let's be real clear. It's been a disaster.
It's, yeah, nothing has gone right. Nothing whatsoever.
Yeah, Brimo I thought was outstanding. I thought Brian Kelly had some good moments this game. Defensively, that's been his issue for a while, but we know that Kelly has this in him. Like, if you get Kelly on his best day, he genuinely can go toe-to-toe with any centre in the competition.
Ryan Kelly is the Gold Coast Titans. Like, he just personifies the franchise the last few years. Mm. I mean that with all due respect because I think he's an absolute gun. We said it the other day. Sometimes you sit there and watch him and go, could he play Origin? Like when he's at his best, oh, you know, he could handle him.
For sure. Some of the stuff he does is crazy. So yeah, I thought he was good. Kieran Foran, 3 try assists. That's what you need from the big fella.
That the left edge at the Titans was so good to see. Like Foran missing a few games early this season due to injury. Fifita missed the start of the season. Cam Pereira got dropped. But last year, their left edge attack, even the defence was quite good, but the left edge attack was unreal. You saw the band back together properly on the weekend. Cam Pereira has scored doubles 2 weeks in a row. Fifita, just his classic rampaging try from dummy at half, barge over. But the left edge attack looks so, so much better with all those boys back.
Yeah, so hopefully they can notch a win up soon.
Well, just on that, we've got a market at sports, but Gold Coast Titans' first win of the season. We've thrown one up. The best backed is round 11 at Magic Round against Newcastle, which will get you $4.50. Surely they turn it around at some stage, but if you think they go winless, $21 you're getting this year.
Jeez.
They're getting closer, though.
You're a mean-spirited person if you're punting on winless.
They've shown a bit of ticker last couple of weeks. I don't think it's far away.
Hopefully they can bounce
just
back.
Just the one I want to touch on, Kempy. I thought Fotoaker was going to be the one to step up or needed to be when Tino went down earlier in the year. And even just looking at his meters run this season, so in 3 of the past 4 years, he's run for 143 meters plus per game. His worst in the last 4 years was 123 meters in 2022. In the 4 games since Tino got injured, he's averaging 105 meters per game. He's still playing his big minutes. He had a terrible miss for the Olakuadu try. He's disappointed me.
Mm. Yeah, I agree with you. I thought Fotoaker, didn't he win their player of the year last year?
Well, it was this time.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Last year, we were sitting there going, he has to be in the Maroon side.
Yep. Yeah. He had, 53 minutes on the weekend, had 11 runs for 88 metres. It's like...
I thought against a team that's defensively not that great as well. So hopefully he can step up as well.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.